B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Ksubas Daf Hey. We're going to start two lines from the bottom of Daf Dalet Omad Beis. The Gemara takes us now back to the Braisa we learned on Daf Dalet Omad Aleph, where we saw in the Braisa there, Bein kach u'bein kach lo yiv oil lo be'erev Shabbos v'lo be'moitzah Shabbos. We're talking here about the Bi'ur Rishona, which is the first time that a couple have physical relations when they get married. And it says, irrespective of whether the reason that it got delayed, because we've learnt that a Basula gets married on Wednesday, the Chuppah's on Wednesday, and they have relations on Wednesday night. And but if ever, for whatever reason, Bein Kach or Bein Kach, irrespective of whether it was because of an oinus, something out of their control that happened to them. For example, if there was Avelus, where a relative passed away, and therefore, and it was like we learned before, that if this relative passed away on Friday and or Friday afternoon and they couldn't do the burial yet, and if they wouldn't have relations on Friday night, then they would have to wait till after the Shiva and it would be very complicated. Or Bein Kach, or if it was not because of some unusual occurrence out of their control, it was just that maybe they got married on Wednesday, or the Chuppah was on Wednesday, and for whatever reason, good or other, they didn't do the Bi'ur Rishona on Wednesday night, and now it's Friday night, or Motzah Shabbos. So we saw in the Braisa, lo yiv oil, they should not do the Bi'ur Rishona, lo be'erev Shabbos, not on Friday night, for lo be'moitzah Shabbos, nor on Motzah Shabbos. The Gemara is now going to discuss that. Bishleima be'erev Shabbos. I can understand that on Friday night a couple should not do the Bi'ur Rishona mishum chabura, because it causes a wound, and we're going to learn about this a little bit later. But when a couple are together the first time, then some blood typically would come out. There would be a type of a wound, and making a wound on Shabbos is something which is osur. So I can understand that Bi'ur Rishona should not be done on Shabbos, and again, we're going to discuss this later on in the Daf. Ela b'moitzah Shabbos, if it's Motzah Shabbos, amai eloi, why not? Omer Reb Zeira. So Reb Zeira is going to answer. This is that we're going to have a few explanations. The first one is Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira says, Mishum cheshbonis. We're afraid that if on Motzah Shabbos they're going to plan to what Rashi seems to say, that they're planning to do the Nisuin, the whole ceremony, the Chuppah ceremony, they're going to do the Nisuin on Motzah Shabbos. And that's part, that means the Bi'ur Rishona is together with the Knissa, together with the Chuppah. And then we're afraid that on Shabbos he's going to spend Shabbos calculating the expenses of the Suda, of the Chasna Suda, they're going to have a Motzah Shabbos. And calculating expenses is something that should not be done on Shabbos. It says in the Pasuk, V'daber Dovar, and it's learnt out, we learnt about this in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, that one should not calculate expenses on Shabbos. Omer le'Abaye, Abaye said to Reb Zeira, I don't understand. You're right that general business expenses should not be discussed on Shabbos. But here, v'cheshbonis shel mitzvah, here we're talking about calculating expenses to do with the mitzvah of getting married. Mi asiri, does anyone say that's prohibited on Shabbos? V'hor Rav Chisda v'Rav Hamnuna d'omri tarvayu, did Rav Chisda and Rav Hamnuna not both say that cheshbonis shel mitzvah mutar l'cheshbon b'Shabbos? You are allowed to calculate the calculations to do with the mitzvah on Shabbos. And in the same theme, v'omri b'lozo, b'lozo said, poiskin tzedakah l'aniyim b'Shabbos, one's allowed to allocate tzedakah money to poor people on Shabbos. V'omer Rav Yaakov, v'omer Rav Yochanan, holchin l'bote knesiyos l'bote medrashois, you're allowed to go on Shabbos to the shuls and the bote medrash, l'fakeach al iskei rabbim b'Shabbos, to take care of the matters of public concern on Shabbos. V'omer Rav Yaakov bar Idi, v'omer Rav Yochanan, mefakchim b'koach nefesh b'Shabbos, one's allowed to publicize anything which could prevent a danger on Shabbos. V'omer b'shmul b'anachmini, omer b'yechanon, holchin l'tartiyois u'lekarkiyois. One's allowed to go to theatres, to circuses, to places where officials would gather, where there would be meeting rooms and meeting places, lefakeach al iskei rabim, in order to publicize and to take care of public concerns on b'Shabbos, on Shabbos. V'tonad b'erb menashia, Reb Menashe said, "Meshatchinus atinoikos, one's allowed to discuss shiduchim, marriage proposals for children, liores, for young people, liores b'Shabbos, if it's going to help them to get engaged, one's allowed to discuss it b'Shabbos on Shabbos, v'alatinik l'lamdei sefer, or to discuss a child, anything that's going to help a child to learn Torah, u'lelamdei umnos, to teach him a craft. These are all mitzvahs. So what do we see from all this? From all these we see that even though there are certain things that one should not discuss on Shabbos, but if it's for a mitzvah, one's allowed to. So then why would one be concerned of doing the Bi'ur Rishona and doing the Knisa, the Chuppah, on Motzah Shabbos if the whole concern is that on Shabbos they're going to be Mishum Cheshboinis? Elo Om Reb Zeira says a different answer. Gezeira Shem Yishchit Ben Oif. We're afraid that since on Motzah Shabbos there's going to be a meal, a festive Chasna Suda, and maybe he's going to realize on Shabbos that he's short of some meat, some chicken, and he's going to shecht on Shabbos. He's going to be so confused and torahed and otherwise occupied with the chasna preparations, he's going to forget that it's Shabbos. He's going to forget it's also to shecht on Shabbos, and he's going to shecht a chicken or a bird on Shabbos, and that's severely asa. In order to avoid a person by mistake shechting on Shabbos, we say make sure that you don't do the Bi'ur Rishona and do the chuppah on Motzah Shabbos. Omer le Abaye. Abaye said that according to what Reb Zeira said, that we're afraid that if there's a Suda after Shabbos, that we're afraid you're going to Shecht on Shabbos. Ele me'ato, if so, Yom HaKippurim shechol liyos b'sheini b'Shabbos. What happens if Yom Kippur was going to fall on a Monday? And we know that on Erev Yom Kippur, the day before Yom Kippur, which would be Sunday, there's a mitzvah to eat. So Yitche, maybe the Chachomim should add on an extra day to the previous month, to the month of Elul, in order to push Yom Kippur, which is the 10th of Tishri, not to Tuesday. And because if Yom Kippur is going to be on Monday, and there's a mitzvah to eat on Sunday, then maybe they're going to shecht on Shabbos. Gzeiro Shem Yishchid Ben Oif. It should be a decree to prevent and to avoid somebody shechting on Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, no. Hosom delenafshei. Over there on Erev Yom Kippur, a person's got his own personal requirement, a mitzvah. He should eat. So for himself, lo torid, he's not so preoccupied, and he will not shecht on Shabbos. Hocha, however, here when you're preparing for a chasna, delachirim, that you're typically inviting guests and making sure that everyone else has food, torid is going to be preoccupied, and maybe he's going to shecht on Shabbos. Inami, a different explanation. Hosom regarding the Erev Yom Kippur, Isle Irvochi has got plenty of time, because primarily the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur is in the day, not on Motzah Shabbos, it's on Sunday day. And therefore he's got time in Motzah Shabbos to prepare. We're not afraid he's going to shecht on Shabbos. Hocha, however, when it comes to this chasna, Lesli Irvochi, he's got no time because the chasna is going to be immediately on Motzah Shabbos, and therefore we're afraid that he's going to shecht on Shabbos, and that's why we say that the Bi'ur Rishona should not be on Shabbos, on Motzah Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Hashta da'osis la'ochi, now that you've understood that the reason that you should not do the Bi'ur Rishona on Motzah Shabbos is because you're afraid that on Shabbos he's going to shecht a ben oif, a chicken, a bird, if so, Erev Shabbos Nami, that could also be the reason that you should not do the Bi'ur Rishona on Friday night. Before we said the reason not to do a Bi'ur Rishona on Friday night is because of Chabura is making a wound, but we can say there's another issue that Nami Migzeira Shemo Yishchit Ben Oif. Maybe if he's going to do the Bi'ur Rishona on Friday night, which means the Chuppah is then on the Chasna meal is on Friday night, in the middle of the Chasna meal, he might realize he's missing some bird, some chicken, he's going to shecht some chicken, some turkey, whatever the bird is, and if he's going to shecht on Shabbos, that's severely also. And that would be a reason not only not to get married and do the Bi'ur Rishona on Motzah Shabbos, but also on Friday night. Continues the Gemara. Iboilu, in the yeshiva they ask the following question. Besula nises b'ravi, v'niv'eles b'ravi. We saw in the Mishnah, Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the very first Mishnah, the Chachomim said that a yet unmarried girl who's getting married now for the first time should get married on Wednesday. And we assume, and why? The Mishnah explained, because they're going to do the Bi'ur Rishona sometime before Thursday morning. And in case there's an issue and the husband realizes that she's not a Basula and she may have done znos, he's going to get very annoyed and agitated and go straight to the Beis Din to verify whether what the status is, whether he's allowed to remain married to her. So all we saw was that the Nisuin was on Wednesday and the Beis Din was on Thursday morning. The question is, when are they doing the Bi'ah Rishayna? Is it Niv'eles Biravi? Are they doing the Bi'ah Rishayna also on Wednesday sometime? The Chuppah and the Bi'ah Rishayna on Wednesday. And if there's an issue, then Thursday morning, the husband will come to the Beis Din. We're not afraid that between the Bi'ah Rishayna on Wednesday and Thursday morning, Le'ikura Daita, that he's going to calm down and change his mind and not come to the Beis Din. Oy Dilma, maybe no. Besula Nisus Berevi, the Chuppah should be done, the Nisuin should be done on the Wednesday. However, V'niv Eles, the Bi'ah Rishayna, should only be done B'chamishi on Wednesday night, which is the beginning, the onset of Thursday, called Chamishi. We know that in Torah, the day starts with a night. Vayi Erev, Vayi Voiker. So the Bi'ah Rishayna has to be on the Wednesday night in order to shorten as much as possible the amount of time between the Bi'ah Rishayna and the time that the husband would come to Beis Din. D'cheshinon le'ikrura daita, because we're afraid if she does the Bi'ah Rishayna on Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday sometime, then he's, by the time it comes to Thursday morning, he'll have calmed down and he will not go to the Beis Din. That's the question of the Gemara. So Gemara is going to try and bring a proof from a Braisa, Toshema Dutoni Bar Kapora. Bar Kapora taught as follows: Besula Nisus Berevi, the Nisuin of a Besula is done on a Wednesday. Veniv Eles Bechamishi, says explicitly, the Bi'ah Rishayna should be on Wednesday night. Hoil, why? Hoil Venem Raboy Brocha Ledogim. He doesn't say that the reason you should do the Bi'ah Rishayna on Wednesday night is because we're afraid that if he does it on Wednesday, then on Wednesday day, that he's going to cool down and he's not going to come to Beis Din. No, for some reason he's not afraid of that. He says there's a different virtue of doing it on Wednesday night, and that is that Wednesday night, which is the onset of Thursday, and Thursday, if you look in the Chumash on Thursday of Maaseh Bereishis and Parshas Bereishis, Nemra Boi Brocha Ledogim, it says in the Pasuk, Pru Ravu Milu Es Hamayim, there's a special brocha of being fruitful. And the same way as the fish, they got their brocha to have children, so too, or to multiply, so too, it's a skulo, it's good to do the Bi'ah Rishayna on the Wednesday night. Almona, a widow, however, nisus b'chamishi, the nisuin is done b'chamishi, v'niveles b'shishi, the nisuin is done on Thursday, and the Bi'ah Rishayna is done on Thursday night, which is the beginning of Friday, hoil v'nem raboy brocha la'odom. Because regarding Friday, it says there's a pasuk that says Pru Urvu Milu Es Haaretz, that Odom Rishin was given a bracha to multiply, and therefore it's good for a widow to do the Bi'ah Rishayna on Friday or Thursday night. That's the end of what Bar Kapora said. Says the Gemara, Taima. So you see from here that the only reason to do the Bi'ah Rishayna on Wednesday night and not on Wednesday is Mishum Bracha. Is because there's a bracha to the dogim, to the fish. Aval mishum ikrura daita. However, anyone who wouldn't be concerned or wouldn't feel it enough of a reason to do the Bi'ah Rishayna on Wednesday night because of the bracha, we're not concerned about ikrura daita that he's going to calm down. The little bit of time between Wednesday and Wednesday night or Wednesday and Thursday is not enough time to calm down, and we're not concerned. So you see from Bar Kapora that we're not concerned if the Bi'ah Rishayna is done on Wednesday and not on Wednesday night. Says the Gemara, Ihachil. According to what the Braisa just said now, that the reason that a Basula gets married on Thursday, does the Bi'ah Rishayna on Thursday, is because of the bracha for the fish. Almona nami tiboil b'chamishi. Why is the Bi'ah Rishayna done to an almona, also not done on Thursday, hoil v'nema b'ri bracha ledogim, for the same reason. Thursday is a virtuous day because the fish were given a bracha to multiply. Says the Gemara, bracha de odom adifale, because the bracha that was given to man is preferable, and therefore, by a basula, we can't wait till Friday to do the Bi'ah Rishayna, because we're afraid that there might be tainas basulim, and the husband has to come to Beis Din. So it has to be sometime before Thursday morning. An almona who doesn't have an issue of basulim, because the whole issue of basulim is only when a girl who's getting married for the very first time, an almona has obviously been married before, she's a widow, and therefore there's no issue of the dam basulim. And therefore, there's if it doesn't make a difference regarding Dan Besulim, then the bracha of Friday is preferable. V'inami, or Mishum Shoktu, we saw a similar concept that the Chachomim toiled for the benefit of Benois Yisrael, but earlier on in the Gemara, Daf Beis, Daf Gimel, we saw there was a Shoktu, the Chachomim toiled to take care of to make sure that a person prepares for the Chasna meal for 3 days. That was a sugi we learned before. Now there's another Shoktu, again the Chachomim toiled. The Tanya, we learned in the Braisim, Ipnei Ma Omru, Almona Nisus B'chamishi V'niveles B'shishi. Why do we say that the Nisuin of an Almona is done on a Thursday and the Birashoina of the Almona, it's not really called a Birashoina. Birashoina is typically referred to as the Birashoina of a Besula, but the first time that the couple are together, Niveles B'shishi, is done on a Friday, on Thursday night. Why did the Chachomim toil and go out of their way to make sure that's what would happen? Because if you're going to say that not only is the Nisuin on Thursday, but the Bi'ah Rishayna with Almona is also going to be on Thursday, then the Mocha, what's going to be on Friday? Business as usual. Mashkim lo'umno, so he's going to get up to his craft, to his work, and he's going to go to work. And this poor woman who just got married the day before, she wants to spend a few days of time with her husband. And therefore, Shoktu Chachomim al Takonas Bnei Yisrael, the Chachomim made the Takona for the Bnei Yisrael, Shehei Sameach Imo Shloisha Yomim. By a regular Basula, in any case, he doesn't go to work, he's got all the Alochas of a Chosn for 7 days. The Sheva Brochas by an Almona, that's not by a second marriage, that's not the case. It's only that one day. The Chachomim wanted him to have a simcha, to be happy with her and spend time with her for 3 days. So how did they work that out? They said that Chamishi B'Shabbos, they said that they were 3 days were Chamishi B'Shabbos, the Thursday, and what was on Thursday? That was the day of the Chuppah. He's going to spend time with her. That's her day, the day they got married. V'erev Shabbos, and since the Bi'ah Rishayna with the Almona is going to be on Thursday night, stroke Friday, so because of that, the Simcha, he's going to spend the day with her. V'Shabbos, and on Shabbos nobody goes out to work anyway, so you'll have 3 days of time with his new wife. Asks the Gemara, my Ikka bein Brocha l'shoktu. Is there any difference between whether the reason that the Almona gets married, the Bi'ah Rishayna is done on the Friday, is because of the bracha that was given on Friday to the Adam, to man, to multiply, or whether it was in order to make sure that the husband doesn't run off to work on Friday? Says the Gemara, yes, there is a difference between the two explanations. Ikka binayu Adam botel, a person who's out of business, doesn't have any work anyway, maybe retired. If he's got no work anyway, then he's not going to go to work on Friday in any case. So for that matter, he can do the Bi'ah Rishayna on Thursday already. And no one is taking the risk of this Almona being on her own on Friday. Inami, or it could be, Yom Tov Shechol Yis Be'erev Shabbos. If that Friday is a Yom Tov, and in any case there's no work, so then he can do the Bi'ah Rishayna on Thursday. And on Friday, in any case, he's going to be home, and there's no issue with that. However, if the reason that they're doing the Bi'ah Rishayna on Friday is because of the bracha, then in both these cases, they would still try and do the Bi'ah Rishayna on the Friday, not on the Thursday. And now the Gemara says, since we've mentioned one quote from Bar Kapora, we're going to quote another one. Actually, another two quotes from Bar Kapora. Dorash Bar Kapora, and these are both in Agoda. Bar Kapora said as follows, G'doylim maise tzadikim, it's an amazing thing we find that the work, the handiwork of the tzaddikim, which we're soon going to see is the building of the Beis HaMikdash, is bigger than the creation, the work of Hashem, so to speak, when he created heaven and earth. De'ilu b'maisa shemayim v'oretz, regarding the creation of the world, of heaven and earth, Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk in Yeshaya, af yodi Yozda Oretz, that my hand, says Hashem, in single term, Yodi is one hand, Yozda laid the foundation Oretz for the earth, V'yemini, and my right hand, Tipcho, Shomayim, spread out the heavens, K'irani Aleim, Yamdu Yachtov. So you see here that it was a single hand of Hashem, so to speak, that created, that founded heaven and earth. Ve'ilu b'mayis yedeim shel tzaddikim. However, regarding building of the Beis HaMikdash, which is consequent to the work of the tzaddikim, k'siv, it says in the pasuk in the Chumash, tivyeimu v'sitoimu b'har nachlosecho, mochin, the foundation, l'shivtecho, for your dwelling place, po'alto, you made, Hashem, what did you make it? You made it into a mikdash, into a sanctuary, into the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem, koinenu yodecho, Hashem, you established it by yodecho, your two hands. So you see that the building of the Beis HaMikdash, which is consequent, even though Hashem is building the Beis HaMikdash, but what the things that the tzaddik, that those things that the tzaddikim do, it's so to speak Hashem's hands, which is being worked by the tzaddikim, and we see it's two hands, yodecho, is two hands. So we see that the building of the Beis HaMikdash, consequent to the good deeds of the tzaddikim, that is two hands, but creating heaven and earth is one hand. Says the Gemara, Heishiv Bavli Echod, a Babylonian. Who was that? Rab Chiya Shemoi was Rab Chiya. He answered as follows. That it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Asher loy hayom, the sea is his, v'hu aso, and he made it, v'yabeshes, and the dry land, yodov, his hands, yotzoru, formed it. So you see here that the land was made, with the yabeshes, the land was made, with two hands. Says the Gemara, no. Yodoiksev, even though it says yodov, we read it yodov, but if you look inside the Tehillim, in the Teresh Bechtav, it says the yud is missing. It says yodoi, it's a single hand, and we're back to a contradiction. Says the Gemara Voksiv, yotzaru. Does it not say yotzaru, they formed? So yodov, you could say yodov, it's red yodov, it says yodoi, but yotzaru is a plural, they formed. Omrav Nachman by Yitzchok, yotzaru, what does it mean yotzaru, they formed? You've got a single hand, and they formed it with a single hand. Etzba Esav is talking about yotzaru etzba Esav. The five fingers of a single hand formed the yabeshes, formed the dry land. Kedichsev, as it says in the Pasuk, where do we see that fingers were had an important part in creation? It says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, ki ere, when I behold Shomecha, your heavens, Maisei Etzba Isecha, the work of your fingers, Yoreach v'chichovim, the moon and the stars, Asher Kenonto, which you have set in place. So you see that the fingers had something to do with it. So you see from here that indeed, G'doilim Maisei Tzadikim, the deeds of the Tzadikim are greater than Maisei Shemaim V'oretz. Meisvei. Now we're going to ask a question against Bar Kapora. It says in another pasuk in Tehillim, Hashemayim mesaprim kvoid keil. The heavens, they declare the glory of Hashem, or ma'aseh yodov, and the work of his hands, two hands, magid horokia. The skies, they tell. So you see here that the Shemayim, that the world was made with yodov, ma'aseh yodov, his two hands. Answers the Gemara Hochika Omar, ma'aseh yodem shel tzadikim mi magid. When it says in the pasuk, Umaisei Yodov Magid Horokia, it means the work of the tzaddikim, the Maisei tzaddikim with two hands. Who's going to declare that? Who's going to reveal that? Magid, who's going to reveal that? Horokia, the skies. Mi Magid, who's going to say and explain and express and manifest the Maisim Tovim of the tzaddikim? Horokia, the heavens, the skies. How do they do that? Umainu, what is that? Motor, it's the rain. As we learned extensively in Maseches Tainis, that when the tzaddikim and the people are doing Maisim Tovim, then there's rain. When not, then not. Continues the Gemara Dorash Bar Kapora. This is yet another quote from Bar Kapora. Maidich Siv, it says in the Pasuk in the Chumash, V'yoseid tie al azeinecho, which means a shovel or a peg should be with you, tie lecho, should be with you, al azeinecho, besides for the weapons that you carry around with you. V'hoyo b'shivtecho chutz, v'chofar tovo, v'shavt, v'chisiso es tzeosecho. And it was for tznius purposes that when they would go out in the fields and they would relieve themselves, they would use this peg, this spade, to dig a hole and cover up whatever needed to be covered up. So the Gemara says Bar Kapora, Al Tikra, don't read it azeinecho, which means that v'yosei tia lecho, that this tool, this should be with you al azeinecho, besides for the weapon that you're carrying with you. Rather, elo al oiznecho, it should be on your ear. What would that mean? That if a person hears something which is inappropriate, people around him are speaking inappropriately, then his fingers, which is similar to a yosed, similar shaped like a peg, he should put it into his ears in order that he shouldn't hear the inappropriate talk. And that's what Rabbi Elazar said. Why are a person's fingers shaped like a peg? Asks the Gemara, my tam. What do you mean, why? What was your question of why? Are you asking why are the fingers separated? Why do we have five separate fingers? That wouldn't be a question. Because we need five fingers, because even when it comes to serving Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, they needed to have five fingers. Every finger was used for something specific. Did we not learn in the Gemara, in Brachas, in Menachas, that Zuzeres, that you've got the little finger, which was used, it says that the Choshen, the breastplate, was a Zeres Orkoi, was Zeres Rochboi, it was a square Zeres. What's a square Zeres? That a person, an average-sized person, would stretch out his fingers to the most possible, and the distance between the tip of his thumb and the tip of his little finger being the Zeres, that would be the size of the breastplate, the Choshen, which was half an amma. So you see that I need a little finger to be able to spread out to measure the size of the Choshen. Zukmitzo, the next finger, the finger next to the little finger, also that fourth finger, and that was the first one with which they would do the kmitza with the korban mincha. They would take three fingers full of, they would cup the three middle fingers onto the palm, remove the flour, the mincha, and that would be the kmitz. And they would start doing that with that finger next to the little finger. Zu'amo. And you've got the middle finger, which is the long finger with which they would measure the amas abinyan, the amas akedim. There were different measurements in the Beis HaMikdash that were needed to be exactly an amma. And an amma is the distance between the elbow and the tip of the middle finger. So that needs to be a separate finger. Zu etzba, and then you've got the index finger with which they would sprinkle blood. Zu goydel, and you've got the thumb, which was used, the thumb of Aaron and the thumb of the Metzora, where they would apply. They would apply onto the thumb whatever the korban that we're talking about required. And so we need, you see in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, we need to have five fingers separated. So what was your question? The question is, why are the fingertips slanted in a way as if the heads of the fingertips are like pegs? Says the Gemara, Shem Yishma Adam Dovash, She'ein Yehogun. That's what Rabbi Elazar said. That if you hear something, She'ein Yehogun, which you shouldn't be hearing, Yaniach Etz Boisov Boznov, he should put his fingertips into, a fingertip into his ear, and then he won't hear what's being said. And in a similar context, Ritonu Debe Rabbi Shmuel, Mipneima Oizen Kulo Kosher. Why is the entire bone structure of the ear hard? V'ha'alyo, but the ear lobe, Rako is soft. In order, Shem Yishma Adam Dovash Einahogun, if a person hears something inappropriate, then he, if he can't put his finger in, or he doesn't want to put his finger in, or together with his finger, he should fold over the earlobe into the hole of the ear, blocking the ear so he shouldn't hear what he's not supposed to hear. In a similar vein, says the Gemara Tana Rabbanon, we learnt in a Braisa, Al Yashmia Adam Laoznov Dvarim Betelim, a person should not allow himself to hear even regular idle chatter, even if it's not dvarim she'einum hagunim, even if it's not really things that he mustn't hear, but things that are just a waste of time, he shouldn't. It's worth running away from that. Bepnei she'hem nichvo is tchila le'ivarim. In the same way as the ear is the first part of the body that would get burnt, it's the most sensitive. So too, you should be. It's very easy. In the same way as it's easy to get burnt on the ear, it's easy to get burnt by hearing idle chatter, and from idle chatter you're going to end up hearing things that you shouldn't be hearing, and therefore it's worth avoiding it. Continues the Gemara, Iboy Elohu. And now we're going back to the topic, which is a topic that's going to take us into the next daf as well, that the concept of Bia Rishoino, the first time where a chosn and kala are together, they physically, they have relations together, then we said before, We saw in a braisa that they should not do the bir hashoina on Shabbos, and we said the reason is mipnei chabura. We saw that on the last line of daf dalet amud beis. But it's not so straightforward, and we just have to understand like this. Before we learn the next gemara, we'll just give a short introduction, and then the gemara will be very easy to understand. When by the bir hashoina, two things are happening. Number one, there's a chabura. Maybe we shouldn't call it chabura, we shouldn't call it a wound, but blood comes out. In Ba'is Emokim, there's blood, and there's going to be a discussion whether the blood that is stored there, if it's just, so to speak, stored there, it's not actually absorbed into the walls of the body, it's just sitting there. And with the Bir HaShoina, it's a little entranceway is made into the, and allowing and releasing the blood. That would be one way of looking at it, or michbar chobir, which either means that the blood is connected to the walls and is, so to speak, squeezed out, which is a wound, or michbar is a term used for chabura. But the blood, removing or releasing the blood, involves making a wound. So that's one thing, the dam, the blood gets released by the bir hashoina. Another thing that happens by the bir hashoina, a pesach is made, an opening is made for all future biyos that they could comfortably do the bi'os for the rest of their lives, then one is creating a Pesach. Making a wound on Shabbos is a melacha. Creating a Pesach is binyan. And we've already learned early on in Shas, but here again, that even by Odom, by man, there's a concept of building, and finishing a building is boine. And creating this Pesach, making an entranceway into an Odom, is, or broadening an entranceway into an Adam, is considered boine, and would be, as with boine on Shabbos, is one of the melachos, it's osar on Shabbos. So we have to discuss, when it comes to bir hashoina on Shabbos, do we have an issue with chabura, with making a wound? Do we have an issue with boine? That's as far as what's actually happening. Now, why is a person doing a bir hashoina? There could be three reasons a person is doing the bir hashoina. Number one, he has a particular interest to release that blood. Why would he have that interest? So Tosfos says, because he wants to make sure, he wants to determine that she's a basula. It's important for him to know that. That would be one reason, and there's other reasons in Tosfos. So number one, the reason, what's driving him to do the bir hashoina, is to release the dam. There's another reason that he could be intending to do the bir hashoina, and that's because he wants to create a Pesach. Long-term Pesach, an opening. Now, whichever way you hold it, the dam gets released and the Pesach gets created. The question is, what's his intention? We know that in Hilchos Shabbos, his intentions determines how mutter or osa something is. If he didn't intend to do something, it just happens by the way, it could be mutter. So that would be the second intention of the bir hashoina, is to make a Pesach. The third intention will be la'anos atzmei, just to give himself some pleasure, which is totally okay. He's doing the bir hashoina because it's giving him pleasure. And the fact that blood comes out is not something that's concerning. It's not occupying his mind. The fact that he's making a Pesach, it's also not occupying his mind. He's doing the bir hashoina for hanoas atzmoi, to have pleasure. Now, taking all this in mind, we have to know, why is he doing the bir hashoina? And how we view the bir hashoina, that means how we view the concept of the wound, the blood, and the making of the Pesach. And when all that's been taken into account, we'll be able to know, is it mutter or osa to do the bir hashoina on Shabbos? Let's see the Gemara. Iboyelu, mahu liv oil b'tchilo b'Shabbos. Is one allowed to do the bir hashoina on Friday night? So the way the Gemara is asking the question is that the determining factor is going to be as to what was the status of the blood before the bir hashoina. Do we say dam mifkat pocket? It was just held in place, it was just stored there, and removing the blood is not actually involving a melacha of chabura, of making a wound. Or do we say no? Oy chibure michbar, that by the bir hashoina, the removing of the blood there in the walls, they're stored in the walls there of the wife of the Isha, is absorbed in the walls, and removing it, squeezing it out, involves making a chabura, making a wound. That was the discussion. We're trying to understand what is actually happening there. How is the blood stored before the bir hashoina? Ve'im timtzaleima dam mifkat pocket. If you say that the blood is just stored there, and it's just letting it out, it's just creating an opportunity for the blood to escape, but you're not actually making a wound, then the question is, ledam hu tzorich, is the reason that he's doing the bir shayna in order to remove the blood, and removing the blood according to this understanding does not involve making a wound, and then it'll be fine. Vashari, then it'll be muta. Oy dilma, or maybe lepesach utzorich. It could be that indeed dam mifkat pocket. There's no issue of making a wound, but the problem is that the reason that he's doing the bir shayna is not to remove the blood, but rather lepesach utzorich. He's trying to make a pesach, to make an opening, in order that he should be able to do the bir later on. And v'aser, making a pesach, if you intend to make a pesach, it's boine. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Even if you're going to say that his intention is that he wants the blood, and the entranceway, the fact he's creating a Pesach, the binyan, that wasn't his intention. His intention was to remove the blood. And removing the blood is not an issue because dam mifkat pocket. It doesn't involve making a wound. And the Pesach is doing it, it's happening on its own. The question is, okay, but making a Pesach is osur, or is doing something that happens on its own without it being your intention, is that mutar on Shabbos or osur? The question is halacha k'Reb Shimon. Is the halacha like Reb Shimon, which we've learned about in early on in Shas and Shabbos and Beitza, the Omar Dovosh ein miskaven mutar, that if you do something unintentional, it's actually mutar. If you didn't intend to do the malacha of boina, then it's muta. Or halacha k'Reb Yehuda, maybe the halacha is like Reb Yehuda, the Omar Dovash Ein Miskaven Osar, who says, even though if it wasn't your intention, it's still Osar, so it won't help you, that dam mifkat pocket, and there's no issue of chabura, of making a wound, but there's still an issue of binyan, if you hold like Reb Yehuda. V'imtim t'loy ma'alocha k'Reb Yehuda. And even if you say the halacha is like Reb Yehuda, the Dovash Ein Miskalkel is Osar, however, mekalkel hu eitzel ha-pesach, we know that even Rabbi Yehuda himself, he only says that Dovosh Einem Eskaven is Osa, is if you're doing something constructive. But if you're doing something destructive, and it's Einem Eskaven, Rabbi Yehuda will say it's Mutter. So the question is, since the Bir Shoyna is turning this woman from a Besula to a Bu'ula, and we know that a Besula is more Choshev, has a certain Chashivos, a certain prominence, certain importance, some value of a Basula more than a Bu'ula, and turning into Bu'ula might be called destructive on some level. So even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, Dovosh Einem Miskaven will be Osir, but since if you view it as being destructive and it's Makalkal, then Rabbi Yehuda will say it's Mutter. So that was the big question with all its different sides, with all the facets of the question according to the first version. Ikad Omra. A different version says, "V'imtem tzolei madam chibur emichber." No, let's assume, or let's say, that the removing the blood does involve making a wound. Then the question is, do we say ledam hu tzorich? The reason he's doing the bir shayna is because he wants the blood, and then it'll be osa, because he wants the blood, and removing the blood according to this version involves making a wound. Making a wound is osa on Shabbos. Or dilmo, do we say no? Do we say that l'hanoas atzmai hu tzorich? If he's doing it to make a Pesach, it's definitely asa. But he might be doing it just in order to have pleasure. V'shori, then it will be mutter, because the blood, even though it makes a wound, memela, it's happening unintentionally. It's not what I want. It's not my intentions. The Pesach is happening. It's not happening because I want it to happen. I don't care about the Pesach. This person is l'hanoas atzmai, is doing it for pleasure. V'shori, and it will be mutter. And here again, we're going to have the same discussion as before, that it's true that the pleasure part and the intentions of having pleasure makes it mutter, but at the end of the day, he's making a wound. And making a wound is also on Shabbos. V'imtim tzolei ma'lohanoas atzmo yotzorich, v'dam me'melo ka'osi, even if you're going to say that, is halacha k'Reb Yehuda or halacha k'Reb Shimon. So you're making the wound unintentionally. Is the halacha like Reb Shimon, who says Dovosh Einem Miskaven is mutter, or like Reb Yehuda, who says Dovosh Einem Miskaven is osur? V'imtim tzolei ma'alocha k'Reb Yehuda. Even if you're going to say the halacha is like Reb Yehuda, who says that Dovosh Einem Miskaven is osur, mekalkul b'chabura, is making this girl from a besula to a be'ula, is it called destructive, and then it will be mutter, or because he's doing something which is constructive. he's doing a bir rishon, he's doing a mitzvah, he's doing something constructive, then it'll be osur. And here, because now we're discussing the melacha of making a wound, which is not his intentions, but that's what's happening, and in contrast to before that we were discussing making the Pesach, which was happening on its own, when it comes to Chabura, making a wound, there's an added concept. Even if you're going to say it's destructive. And we saw before that Rabbi Yehuda says with all other malachas, that when even that if even though Dovash Einu Miskaven is Osir, if he's being Mekalkal, it's Mutter. However, there's one added detail. And there's a new machlekas. When you're all other times when you're doing a melacha with destruction, then we say it's muta. However, one of the only exclusions, one of the only what places where we find that's not the case is by chabura, making a chabura, where Reb Shimon holds, even though Reb Shimon says Dovash Einu Miskaven is muter, but Reb Shimon holds that mekalkel b'chabura. If it's mekil, even though it's destructive, but it's by chabura, it's making a wound, it's going to be osur. The question is, according to Reb Shimon across the board, in our case here, where the chabura, removing the blood, if it's michbar chobir, it's making a chabura, according to Reb Shimon, it's einu miskaven, it's mutter. According to Reb Yehuda himself, he says einu miskaven is osur, but mekalkel is mutter. The question is, if the halacha takes Reb Yehuda and says Dovash Einu Miskaven is Osir, and rules like Reb Shimon that Mekalkel B'chabura is like Mesakin B'chabura, and then it's called constructive and not destructive, and then according to Halacha it will be Osir. Halacha Reb Yehuda, or Halacha Reb Shimon. So that was, according to the second version of the Gemara, that was the question. Says the Gemara, Itmar B'bei Rav Omri, in the place where Rav lived, the Chachomim said that Shori, that Rav Shori or Shmuel Osir, in the place of Rav, they maintained that their Rebbe Rav said it was mutter to do the Bir Rishayin on Friday night, and Shmuel was the one that said it was Osir. Benarda Omri, however, in Nardoi, which is the place that Shmuel lived, they maintained that Rav Osir, it was Rav that said that Bir Rishayin on Friday night is Osir, or Shmuel Shori, and Shmuel said the Bir Rishayin was mutter. And Omri of Nachman Bayitzok v'Simonoch, your simon to remember, in which place what they held, Eilu Makilin Na'atzmon, Ve'elu Makilin Na'atzmon. They were both lenient for themselves. And the place of Rav, they said, our Rav, our rabbi, our Rav, our leader, says it was mutter to do Bir Shein on Friday night. In Shmuel's place, they said, they followed their Rav, and their Rav was Shmuel, and they said that Shmuel said it was mutter. So in each place they held that their leader held leniently, one's allowed to do the Bir Shein on Shabbos. And Im Yirtzeh Hashem, in the next Gemara, we're going to continue this discussion from here.